You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
As we do that, we're going to turn together to the book of the Gospel of John, the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John. We're going to read verses 1 through 14 this morning in the Gospel of John. It says, there was one other time when Jesus appeared to the disciples, this time by the Sea of Tiberias. And this is how it happened. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael the Galilean from Cana, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. Simon Peter said to the disciples, I'm going fishing. Then we will come with you, the disciples said. They went out into the boat and caught nothing throughout the night. As day was breaking, Jesus was standing on the beach, but they did not know it was Jesus. He said, My sons, you haven't caught any fish, have you? No, they replied. Throw your net on the starboard side of the boat, and your net will find fish. They did what he said, and suddenly they could not lift their net because of the massive weight of fish that filled it. The disciple loved by Jesus turned to Peter and said, It is the Lord. Immediately, when Simon Peter heard these words, he threw on his shirt, which he would often take off while he was working, and dove into the sea. The rest of the disciples followed him, bringing in the boat and dragging in their net full of fish. They were close to the shore, fishing only about 100 yards out. When they arrived on the shore, they saw a charcoal fire laid with fish on the grill. He had bread, too. Jesus said to the disciples, Bring some of the fish you just caught. Simon Peter went back to the boat to unload the fish from the net. He pulled 153 large fish from the net. Despite the number of fish, the net held without a tear. Come and join me for breakfast, Jesus said. Not one of the disciples dared to ask, Who are you? For they knew it was the Lord. Jesus took the bread and gave it to each of them, and then he did the same with the fish. This was the third time the disciples had seen Jesus since his death and resurrection. This morning, if you'll bear with me, I want to speak specifically to our graduates because this is their day. But I'm hoping and praying that the rest of you might hear something that stirs your heart as well and speaks to you. But I want to just share a few thoughts from this week's text this morning. In just a few days, high school graduates, you guys will be going across the stage. You'll be receiving your diploma. College graduates, some of them have already done that or will do it sometime this summer. And after graduation, you may be setting off for, I don't know, some kind of party to celebrate, some kind of special vacation, I don't know. Maybe a trip to the beach, for example. Or if you're maybe a little more low-key, a trip to the lake. Or maybe you'd be just as happy gathering a few friends together and saying, hey, let's go fishing. Let's just go fishing. I mean, let's go hang out. Let's go out and tan a little bit, like these guys were doing. But, however you celebrate, however you remember and mark this occasion, the fact is this is a big day for you, or this is a big time in your life. Life is like that. There's going to be big moments that come around that seem to be those mile markers that I was talking about. Those mile markers that kind of help you see who you are, how God has created you, where God has brought you, and where you're going. Those mile markers that help mark the way. The disciples in today's story are coming off just such a moment as that, one of those mile markers. They've been walking with Jesus for 3 years. They left everything to follow this guy, to follow Jesus. And, you know, they're walking with him. 3 years of listening to Jesus teach. 3 years of watching Jesus heal the sick, heal the blind, heal the deaf, heal the lame. 3 years of watching Jesus cast out demons, walking on water, turning water into wine, bringing dead people back to life. Just a few chapters before the story today in John, in chapter 19, they're watching their teacher and their friend be turned over to Roman authorities. They're watching him be beaten and tortured. They watch as their own people turn against him. They watch him die on the cross. And they thought that they were watching all of their hopes and all of their dreams die with him. They watched him buried in a tomb. And 3 days later, the highest of all highs, the best of all best, the biggest mile marker ever, they find that Jesus has risen from the dead, that he's no longer there. And he appears to them in the upper room. And then 8 days later, he comes back again because Thomas didn't get to see him. And so he comes back again 8 days later and says, Thomas, put your hands where the nails were. He says, believe, believe, the highest of all highs. So whether you realize it or not, this moment is a high for you. It's a special time for you. You get to dress up in special clothes, nice little funny hat, and a little robe. You get to hear, you know, special music. It's one of the only times you'll get to hear, bum, ba, da, dee, da, da, and everybody goes, dum, ba, da. You know? And you're the special, you're the one that everybody's focusing on. You get a special piece of paper, and they even put it in one of those like nice like little leather special holders, you know, that you can hold on to it. Some of you just thought that I wore a Hawaiian shirt because I was being goofy this morning. Little story real quick about those special cap and gowns. North Carolina School of the Arts, this was the cap and gown. I wasn't going to wear it this morning, and Michelle said, you know what, you need to wear your Hawaiian shirt because that's what you wore for your graduation from the School of the Arts. I had a big flower lei and, you know, shorts and sandals on. School of the Arts, anything goes, just for, so you know. So some people had cap and gowns. Some people had wilder stuff than others. But anyway, so this is my cap and gown tribute to you guys. But after all that happens, after all the special stuff, the special clothes, the special music, the special, you know, you get taken out to a special dinner and the special vacation, the reality is life goes back to normal. Life goes back to normal after that. The emotional highs, they simmer down. Graduation parties, they end. Vacations end. Everybody eventually goes back to work. And they go back to daily chores and to bills and to responsibilities. The normal sets back in. That's what's happening in the disciples' life in this story this morning. They've gone back to what they know. They went fishing, right? They fished all night, but they didn't have anything to show for it. They fished all night, nothing to show for it. And along comes Jesus walking on the shore, but they're so far off the shore, they know he's walking, but they can't really tell who he is. And this passage records four things that Jesus says to them, four things that he says to the disciples. And I want to suggest this morning that these are four things that Jesus is saying, or will be saying to you graduates as well. He calls out to them first and says this, he says, you haven't caught anything, have you? Now, if you really want to insult a professional fisherman, walk up to him and say, hadn't caught anything, have you? Empty well there. That's pretty insulting, you know? You're like, especially if you've been out there all night, you've been working hard, and you come in, and you're kind of, you know, you got nothing to show for it. So come on, Jesus, really. How cruel can you be? Why are you picking on these guys? Right? But in reality, I think, if I were to paraphrase it, I think what Jesus is saying to the disciples is this. How are you doing? How's it going? How's it going? Because things have calmed down. You've settled into this new way of life now. You're out there doing what you love, but how's it going? How's it going with you? So let me ask this morning, graduates, how's it going this morning with your life? How's it going with your faith? How's it going with your walk with Jesus? How's it going with your relationships with other people? How's it going with your friends and your relationships to your friends? How's it going with your relationship to your family? How's it going with those things that you struggle with on a daily basis when life settles down from the highs and gets back to normal? How's it going with you? A few months from now, Jesus will be asking the same thing for you, especially to those of you going off to college. He'll say, how's it going with this transition into college life? How's it going with your emotions? Are you sad? Are you lonely? Are you depressed? Are you joyful? Are you excited or you're exuberant? How's it going with your classes? Are they hard? Are you barely making it? Is college a piece of cake? How's it going with the new temptations that you're going to face when you're gone? That's the first thing Jesus says is, how's it going? Because the first point is this. Jesus is concerned about you personally. Jesus cares about those little things in your life. Sometimes we think of Jesus only cared about those high moments or those big mountaintop experiences, but Jesus cares about you in the everyday things. He cares about what's going on in the mundane parts of life, not just the high points. So Jesus asks the disciples, how's it going? Have you caught anything yet? And they respond with a simple No. No. We don't have anything. So how does Jesus respond to that? He says, try throwing your nets on the other side of the boat. Try throwing your nets on the other side of the boat. Now look, we're not talking about something as simple as, you know, I've been fishing for a little while. Maybe I should just like reel it in and do this on the other side. I mean, it's not that. That would be easy, right? Just to turn around and cast it on the other side. But we're talking about big, heavy nets. Big, huge nets that they've put overboard that have these big lead weights on them to sink the net down to the bottom. Then they scoop the net back up and pull. So when he says, why don't you throw it over on the other side? It's like, come on, Jesus. You know, this is going to take a while. We got to reel this thing in. This is heavy. This is hard work. But they do. But they do. They do. It's a big investment for these guys that are worn out, that have been doing this all night, that are exhausted, that are just demoralized. So if I had to paraphrase, though, what Jesus was saying, I think he said this. He said, hey, guys, I got an idea. I have an idea. Graduates, this morning I want to suggest to you this. God has an idea about your life. God has an idea and a plan for you. In the book of Jeremiah, we read that it says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for wholeness, not for evil. Plans to give you a hope and a future. The reality is God has a plan for you. He has an idea for your life. And oftentimes, the plan goes something like this. Why don't you throw your nets on the other side? Why don't you cast starboard? To which we often respond, Jesus, I know what I'm doing. Jesus, come on. This is where I need to fish. This is the major I should be majoring in. This is the kind of job I'm going to do, Jesus. This is the person that I'm going to date and that I'm going to marry. Let me tell you, when I left for college, I was certain of three things. Number one, I was certain that I was going to marry Anna Claire Ballard. She and I had dated all the way through high school. We were sweethearts. I was certain that I was going to be a professional trombonist in a symphony somewhere. That was the second one. And I was certain that I was going to be a college professor teaching music. I was certain of those three things when I left for college. And I got to college, and Jesus said, I have a plan for you. Why don't you cast your net starboard? And I'm like, no, Jesus, I'm fishing here. I got it. It's good. I'm good here. And Jesus said, no, why don't you cast your net over there where I have a plan for you? Because you're going to pull your net up empty on your side. And thank God that, like the disciples, I listened and obeyed. Because I didn't marry Anna Claire Ballard. We broke up 6 weeks after I got to school. It's the way it goes. My life's better for it. Not that she's a bad person. She's now a professional bassoonist in the Washington, D.C. area. And her husband plays with the Marine Band, so I don't mess with them either. I'm just kidding. But God had a better plan for my life. I was not planning to be a pastor, to be honest with you. But God had a plan. So after the disciples find their net pulled up, after they've cast it over, they pull it up and they find their net overflowing with fish, they recognize Jesus. At least one of the disciples does. And he says, look, it's the Lord. And Peter says, see you guys. I'm going to leave you to get the nets yourself. I'm going. And he dives in and swims to shore. They drag the net on shore and they find that Jesus has already been there and he's cooking breakfast. He's already got the charcoal fire set up. Just like Jerry's going to have a charcoal fire out here cooking some hot dogs right after, so I hope you stay. Charcoal fire set up. He's got some fish cooking, ready for breakfast. And he makes his third statement to the disciples. He says this. He says, bring me some of the fish you caught. Translate that, I'd like to use what you have. I'd like to use what you've got. Because you see, graduates, God has created each of you unique. And God has given you gifts and abilities. God has given you talents that no one else has. And God is saying to you, I want to use what you have if you'll let me. Because sometimes we get this crazy idea that God only calls certain people into ministry. Or that to be in ministry, it means that we have to be, you know, a pastor or a youth minister or a worship leader. But the reality is, God is calling each of us and calling you, graduates, to use your gifts for God's glory. If you're called to be a teacher, be the best teacher you can be for God's glory. If you're called to be in the medical field, be the best doctor, the best nurse, the best physical therapist you can be for God's glory. If you're called to be an accountant or a businessman, be the very best accountant or the very best businessman you can be for God's glory. Because whatever it is, God is saying to you, I want to use your gifts, the gifts that you have. You fulfill your calling. You be a person of integrity. You study hard to be the best you can. You use that job to influence others and to share the love of Christ. You use those gifts that you have to help others that are in need. You use your gifts to serve others, not yourself. And here's the big one. Use your gifts to make a life, not to make a paycheck. Hear that again. Use your gifts to make a life, not a paycheck. Because Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have life abundantly. Not, I have come so that you can barely scrape by. Finally, Jesus says to the disciples after they've gathered around, he says, let's eat. Let's eat. Let's sit down together. Let's share our lives with one another. So I want to encourage you as you graduate, as you move on to college, as you move out on your own a little bit more, you're going to know a new freedom. You're going to know a new kind of freedom. You're going to get to make more and more decisions about how you spend your time, about what is important to you, about who is a priority, who is important to you, and who you're going to spend your time with. You're going to have opportunities to feel out and to decide, what do I believe? What do I really think about this? What do I really believe about this? And on and on and on. And I can't tell you how many people I know that have gone off to college and have completely walked away from all that they grew up with. They walked away from their faith. They walked away from their connection to family. They walked away just because of choices that they made. And yet, on the other hand, I can tell you story after story of people that I know who stepped out on their own, who stepped out into that freedom, and they took ownership of their life. They said, this is my life, and I'm going to live it the way Christ has called me to live it. They took ownership of their faith. They invested themselves in things that would last, not just the things that were here today. They transformed their life. And in the process, I can tell you story after story of friends who are transforming the world because of their time in college, because it transformed them. So the question is this, who are you sitting across the table from? When you get to school, think about that. When Jesus said, let's eat, who are you sitting across the table from? Who are you letting in close? Who are you being intimate with? This is why when we gather together as a church, we come to the Lord's table on a regular basis. Because we remind ourselves, what is really important? What is really important? We remind ourselves, who are our brothers and sisters that we gather here with? We learn from each other. We support each other. We feed, not just physically, feed our body, but we feed spiritually. We get nourishment from one another. That's what that's all about. So spend time thinking about this. When you go out from this place, as you step forward from graduation, how are you feeding yourself? How are you feeding your body? How are you feeding your soul? Who are you sharing the table with? Who's encouraging you? Who's holding you accountable? Who's offering you advice and is there to listen when you're going through struggles? I just want to encourage you as you go off to college to think about how you're going to get plugged into some kind of faith community. Whether it's a church there at school, whether it's a campus ministry, but figure some way to invest yourself in things that will last. And be selective about those people that you invite in close. Be selective about the people that you share the table with, literally and metaphorically. Surround yourself with people that will feed and nourish your body and your soul. So to sum up, four things Jesus said to his disciples. How's it going? Cared about the personal. What's going on? How's it going? I have an idea for you, Jesus said to the disciples. I want to use what you have. And let's eat together. So graduates, I can say to you this morning, I can't wait to see what God's going to do through you guys. I can't wait to see how God's plan gets worked out in your life. And I pray that you know that Ecclesia is here for you, that Ecclesia is here to support you in any way we can. We celebrate with you. We bless you this day. We honor you. And I pray most of all, that you will always remember that you are loved. There's nothing you can do about it. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your great love for us. We thank you for the call of the Spirit to each one of our lives, where you are saying to us that you care about us in the everyday mundane details of our life. You're saying to us that you have a plan for each one of us if we would sometimes be willing to cast the net starboard, to go to the other side that we might not have been expecting. You're saying to each one of us, Lord, that you have given us gifts and abilities that you want to use if we will make them available to you. And you're saying to us, Lord, that you want us to pull up a seat at your table, to receive our spiritual nourishment from you, and to pull up to that table with brothers and sisters who will encourage us, who will hold us accountable, who will love us and support us. So, Father, we have a decision to make. This day, will we follow you, or will we follow the way of the world? Father, I pray for each one of us, for each one of our graduates, that as they step out, they will make that choice to follow after you with everything that they are. Lord, we pray this all in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.